Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Inocero. No Bink again this week, but we're coming really close to having him back on here. So very excited about that. Appreciate the people that listen to this podcast who did listen to me on the extended post-game show on Saturday night with Logan Weber as well. Had a lot of fun doing that. It was good getting to talk Chiefs. After that win over the Texans, it was a good win. Secured a 7th straight AFC Championship game appearance for the Chiefs, which is the second most consecutive appearances in a conference title game for a team all time. The only team that has made more consecutive appearances is the Patriots from the 2010s, who went to 8 straight between 2011 and 2018. So, great performance there. And if you want to listen to me again, I'll be on the air on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on 96.5 The Fan, getting you ready for Chiefs, Bills, and the AFC Championship game. It'll be the second time these teams face off during the Mahomes era, third time overall because they faced off back during the 93 playoffs in Buffalo for a right to go to the Super Bowl that year. The Bills won that game. Then the last time they played each other back in 2020, it was the Chiefs that won that game. So this will be the third time they faced off for it, and I'll be really excited to get you a preview for that. And then after that, it'll be Mac Morey and Drew Nix going on after me before the network pregame for the Chiefs. And then after that, you're gonna have Logan Weber. Once the Chiefs Network postgame is done, Logan Weber is going to go on from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to about 1 in the morning. So appreciate you guys listening and looking forward to being back on the air on Sunday. If you want to follow us on, our various Chiefs coverage, draft coverage in general, we're going to talk a lot of it here really soon. Follow us on Twitter at 0-60 and at 3GuysInTheGarage. As we're getting really close here, we're, a little less than 3 weeks away from the end of the NFL season. We're going to start ramping up draft coverage. Hell, Senior Bowl week is going to be a very, very important week for it. I think that is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be next week, Senior Bowl week. So definitely going to give you a number of players to be looking out for. Shrine Bowl week as well. We'll get you the final list of rosters and whatnot and who you should be looking out for, guys who we think are going to be the biggest fits for the Chiefs. And definitely want you to if you're going to talk with your friends, you're going to give out some advice who you think they should go with and whatnot, we'll put you on game who you need to be looking out for. But I want to start with who I think the Chiefs should prioritize paying. As we get into pretty close to draft season, you're to start seeing some contracts, some contract negotiations happening and talk of who the team should pay. In the divisional round game against the Texans, two guys really stood out and played incredibly well. One was cornerback Trent McDuffie, who will be up for an extension this offseason, coming off of his third year with the Chiefs. As a first-round pick, he is now he will be eligible for an extension after the end of this season. So there's going to be a lot of talk for him. And then there's going to be a lot of talk for George Karloftis, edge rusher, who was also picked in the very same round as Trent McDuffie back in 22. And then there's going to be talk with the corners. Jalen Watson, I think, will get a little bit of conversation, but I don't think it's going to be super hot around him because of the injury issue with him this year, where he missed most of the season because of he fractured his leg. Fractured fibula, I think it was. And he did come back against the Texans and it looked like he hadn't played in a couple of months there. It wasn't like the worst performance or anything. I don't want to put it out there like he looked terrible, but you could definitely tell he was a little rusty, having not played football in almost 3 months at that point. But yeah, we're at the point where you're going to start hearing some contract talks. You're going to start hearing about whether or not there's certain guys who have, you know, pretty hefty contracts, guys like Joe Tooney, whether or not they should be brought back. I do want to start with this. First off, you know, Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs should pay him as soon as they possibly can. He is a guy that will reset the market when he gets paid. The question is, how much do you want to wait and how much money do you want to end up letting him add to that contract the longer you wait? We've seen this happen a lot with teams who are skeptical on, like, quarterbacks. And what ends up happening is they end up waiting too long. Like, we saw this in 2012 with the Ravens. Before that season, Joe Flacco was up for a contract extension. And the Ravens were pretty adamant, hey, we're waiting. We're trying to make sure that the market-setting money that we could pay you is worth, you're worth that money. And then he goes and gets them to the Super Bowl and they win. And yes, you're obviously, if you're the Ravens, you're happy that you won the Super Bowl with them. But deep in your heart of hearts, you're probably kicking yourselves for not getting that deal done earlier. Obviously, you didn't know. It was a hindsight 2020 deal. But if you planned on keeping him, probably don't wait until the very last second to negotiate a deal with him. And then all of a sudden you have to pay him even more money because other contracts have pushed that number up. And I think that there's a good chance that that could happen if the Chiefs wait too long. You don't want to give opposing teams a chance to then pay their guy and push that number up. Because it's always going to go up. That's just how it is. Every time salary cap gets announced, these players, these top players in these positions these guys are always going to want a percentage of the salary cap based on the position that they play. So quarterbacks are generally going to want, you know, you're talking about, I think the number now is like over 20%. Because I think the salary cap was like right around $250 million. And the contracts that were handed out were like, I think Dak got, what, $60 a year before the season? So you're talking, yeah, just a shade over 20%, probably like 21, 22% of the salary cap now, which is a crazy number. And that means that these guys are going to continue to get more expensive and get more guaranteed money over time. And so you're better off saving your money by getting that deal done as soon as you can. Because the faster you get it done, the cheaper that contract becomes as the salary cap continues to grow. Now, that 21% slowly starts to tick down because the salary cap is raised. So you want to get it done as fast as you can. Wait until the last minute is never a good idea when it comes to paying players that you really, really want to have. And that's the reason why, if you're the Chiefs, as soon as you can get it done, get it done. Pay him the number that he deserves. He's earned it. He's a major part of your success. If you were to do a situation with him that you did with Snead, your defense would take a major hit. Snead was a replaceable player because Snead was not a very available player. He was constantly having injury issues and only had 1 year where he played at the level that we saw him play at his final year in Kansas City. Trent McDuffie's done it for 3 years now. You know what he is. He hasn't had injury issues. Right now, there's no real concern about Trent. Not to say that that won't change. That can't change in the next couple of years before an extension would kick in. But you know what he is right now. And you know what he's been. And it just he's a tough dude. He does everything you need him to be able to do. He can tackle. Now he's starting to get turnovers. He's great in coverage. He just shuts guys down. Nico Collins did not have a good day in large part because of what he was doing as a coverage guy. To me, it just makes the most sense for you as a squad to get that done as quickly as possible because it saves you money. It's like not paying your credit card bill on time and they start stacking them late fees on top. That's what it is when you start waiting and waiting and waiting to get these kind of deals done as long as you can. Just get it done. Now, as far as George Karloftis goes, that's the situation where I think it is smart to wait. I understand that a lot of people are excited about that 3-sack performance that he got against the Texans, and they should be because he's a very good pass rusher. But he's not an elite pass rusher. And you still do have the fifth-year option with him. You don't have to pay him yet. Like, you know what Trent McDuffie is. Trent McDuffie is near the pinnacle of his position. George Karloftis is a very good pass rusher, but he's not elite. He is not. He's had one double-digit sack season in his career. He's not a guy that has consistently been able to generate pressure by himself. He can do it from time to time, but like those 3 sacks he had against the Texans, those are more on Spags than they were on him. Not to say it wasn't a good job by him of beating the guy, getting around the corner, being able to take down C.J. Stroud. All 3 of his sacks came against Dalton Schultz, the tight end for the Texans. Not Blake Fisher, the right tackle. Dalton Schultz, the tight end. And it's not the first time he's been able to get sacks off of tight ends blocking him because they shifted the protection, assuming that there was going to be a blitz, and then guys dropped off. And so the right tackle didn't have anybody to block. Meanwhile, Karloftis gets a matchup against the tight end and gets a very easy and clean rush attempt at the quarterback there. Because guys like Dalton Schultz, they're not guys you're wanting to draw back in pass protection there. You're hoping, and not only was it him, I think it was Joe Mixon as well that also came over and tried to help and chip so that you would at least be able to slow him down, and it didn't really work because Karloftis is, again, a very good pass rusher, and you give him a tight end and a running back, and that's it. Like, he'll take care of business there. And he was able to get around those guys and get to Stroud on those plays there. That is the type of situation that you got to look at. If you like really know how the defense works, you understand that in that situation, it was more of a scheme sack than it was a great, amazing, dominant rep against a very good pass blocker. Not to say that he doesn't deserve to get paid a good contract. I think he does. If we're talking about him getting $30+ million, I'm not down with that. I'm not right now. Now, if he comes back next year and he has like a Trey Hendrickson type year where he's well into the double digits and as a single, because I kind of view him as a Trey Hendrickson type of guy. Like, if you look at Trey Hendrickson when he was with the Saints, he was very good. He was very disruptive. He's relentless as an edge rusher. But he wasn't out here killing guys year over year. This wasn't a guy that was considered like one of the best in the game. He was very underrated. A lot of people considered him like, you know, if you sign him as a free agent, you'll probably get some good value. But he wasn't viewed as one of the elite guys. It's not like if Nick Bosa hit free agency or if Chris Jones would have hit free agency. It's very much like a Trey Hendrickson hitting free. Yeah, it was very much that. That's what it would be like if Karloftis hit free agency. He's that kind of guy. Now, Trey has taken a major step in his time in Cincinnati, and he has become one of the dominant pass rushers in the league. I think he was the leader in sacks this year. Great the last couple of years. And you know, he's one of the biggest reasons why Kingsley Suamataia lost his job so early in the year, because he was working Kingsley's ass in that week two matchup against the Bengals. And maybe that's the kind of growth that we get from Karloftis in year four. I'd love to see that. I'd be so excited if Karloftis took that step forward and earns it. And if it costs the Chiefs a little bit more money because the growth of that position's pay, then so be it. But I'm not willing to go out there and risk it. If I'm Brett Veach, I'm not willing to risk overpaying a guy to keep him on the roster just because he's pretty good. He's pretty good at his position, but he's not elite. And just banking on he takes that step forward and being elite. I'm not willing to go out there and do that yet. And I think the Chiefs will probably wait a little bit. Unless he decides to take like a team-friendly deal and you're seeing him get like maybe 18 to 20 a year. If he does that, then, oh, yeah, you take it in a heartbeat. You know, if you could sign him for 4 years for, what would that number be, like $72 million or something? Oh, I think you take that. Maybe 40 guaranteed. I think you take that in a heartbeat. But if he's talking about getting 30, I'm good. Again, I don't want to shake. I love Karloftis. He was a guy that if you listen to any time me and Bink before that 22 draft, when we were hosting shows in the lead up to that draft, we talked about it. It was like, hey, like, we don't think the Chiefs can get him, but if they were to get him, if he were to fall, you go up and you take him at 30 if he's there. And you know, when he was available at 30 for the Chiefs, oh, yeah, I'm sure that Brett Veach and Andy couldn't get that card turned in quick enough. That's how much I guarantee you that's how much they like that guy. Spags as well. I guarantee you they really like that guy, even though some of the measurements weren't quite there. The arm length, his arm length wasn't quite what Spags usually wants from an edge rusher. But, you know, you watch that tape, and he was really relentless at Purdue. It was like, okay, that's the kind of guy you want on your team. And you see it in the NFL, very relentless, got a high motor, always seems to make a play, whether it be in the run game, whether it be recovering a fumble, always got his head on a swivel, always knows. He's got very high awareness, very high intelligence for the game, and he knows how to take advantage of bad matchups. And, you know, he obviously did that a lot in that Texans game. So, yeah, I'm all about giving him another year and seeing if the value improves enough to where you feel comfortable giving him that big contract. But considering that because I guarantee you they're going to pick up his fifth-year option, I'm willing to bet that they probably give him another year before they start paying him. And hopefully that doesn't cause any friction or anything, which I don't think it will, because I don't think that's what Karloftis is about. Karloftis very much seems like a very big team guy, and he wants to go out there and do what's best for the squad. So I'm sure he's probably willing to go and bet on himself in year four and then hope that he gets the money that he deserves after next season. If he doesn't, then you got to make a choice. But right now, I don't think you feel like you need to push to pay him this offseason. So that means I don't think you really have a pressing need for corner. I think you should take a corner on day two. Edge rusher, I think if you get an edge rusher that whose value is probably exceeds where you're picking, then I think you take an edge rusher, because, you know, ideally if you're going to take an edge rusher, you would take a guy that can play inside outside, like a Landon Dickerson from Arkansas. Those would be the guys you would get. So you can kind of fill out some needs you have, like defensive tackle, anyways there. And I do think the Chiefs probably bring back Charles Omenihu. I think Omenihu is a great fit for the Chiefs. And so I think, you know, with a little bit of cap space, because the Chiefs got a decent amount of cap space and they can create some more with Mahomes' contract. I think they do that and they try to sign Omenihu to like a 3-year deal that they can get out of after two. Because I think at that point you'd get him for the rest of his 20s. You sign him to another 2-year deal, 3-year deal or whatever. You get him for the rest of his 20s. And then, you know, if the value isn't there in year three, then you cut him loose. But, you know, he can make some good money at the end of his 20s and play on a winning team. I think that's probably on the table for the Chiefs. So then it becomes like, okay, what are you going to do with Bolton? What are you going to do with your cornerbacks? You know, because you got Bolton contract year. He's going to hit free agency coming up here at the end of the year. Then you've got Trey Smith. Then you've got, in next year, in 22, you've got guys like Jalen Watts and Joshua Williams. I think Trey Smith's gone. I think the number's too high. And then I think you're looking at linebacker. Maybe they let Bolton go. I think if Spags stays, the likelihood of Bolton leaving is reduced, because I think he really loves Bolton. You hear about how he talks about Nick Bolton, like it's like they best friends. Like, he loves the intelligence of Bolton. And you know, I really like Nick Bolton, so it certainly wouldn't shock me if they decided to keep him. I do think he's a bit of a liability in pass coverage, and it wouldn't shock me if they decided not to bring him back. But I do think that, you know, as long as the number's right, you know, 3 years, 30 or something like that, 3 years, 35, I'm fine with them bringing him back at that number. But, you know, if we start, you know, dipping into $40 million, I might be good on that. And then I think Jalen Watson, if he has a really good year next year, maybe they sign him to like a middle-class contract. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if he got like a pretty nice, big-paying contract, more than like what Charvarius Ward got coming out of here and going to San Francisco, where he got like $12 million a year. If he wanted to take like that number, I could see the Chiefs, if he had a really good year next year, possibly keeping him. But I do think corner is going to be one that they're going to want to draft between rounds 2 through 4. There's a lot of big corners in this draft class. I'll tell you this, the guys I'd be really looking out for is that corner tandem from KU, Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson. I think either of those two guys, especially Kobe Bryant, really good fit for the Chiefs. And, you know, that would solve your potential Jalen Watson problem. But I really think we have to kind of prepare ourselves for the idea that a lot of these guys are just going to be on 4-year rotations, kind of like in college, 4-year rotations, and then they get replaced by somebody in the draft, because it is, you can't pay everyone. That's just the way that the roster attrition works. You can't pay everyone. So the Chiefs might be looking at doing a little bit of a rebuild here starting after this year at some positions. They're definitely going to have to do some work on their offensive line after this year. They're going to have to make some tough choices, I think. I mean, I think they've made their tough choice already. But, you know, I think linebackers, you got to think about that. You got to think about your defensive line situation. Make some tough decisions with guys like Omenihu and Karloftis and whatnot. Make some tough decisions in your cornerback room. But I think the Chiefs have a plan. I think the Chiefs are always looking forward. And I think you can kind of tell what their moves are based on what they do the offseason before guys hit the market. The Chiefs usually don't go around paying guys market value when they're about to hit the market, usually. Unless it's a situation like the Chris Jones one, where you could tell like both sides wanted to get a deal done. It was just the number. And then Chris Jones proved that the number he wanted was what he was worth, and he got it. You can't really argue at that point. He earned that number. He got his money. You've got 3 rings because of him. So, well, in part because of him. I think the Chiefs, they speak with their actions a lot more, and I think we better prepare ourselves for some of these guys playing somewhere else. after this year and after next year. So if we're talking about what positions the Chiefs need to draft, as I just said, corner, probably day two, day three, early day three. You want to get that one done by end of round four. I think running back is a position you got to think about because Kareem, only 1 year deal. He's 29, about to be 30, and he's looked good, but he don't look like the same Kareem that played earlier. There were some runs where, like, if he was 5 years younger, he would have hurdled that guy. He would have, you know, did a spin move or something that showed off his crazy athleticism that he just can't do anymore because of his age. And you hope you can find a guy. There's some guys in there that I think have some Kareem Hunt-like tendencies. Guys like Omarion Hampton or Caleb Johnson, guys like that I really like. There's guys in this draft that you can go take, and you can have them sit for a year behind Pacheco and maybe Kareem if you bring him back. And then next year, I mean, and then in 26, maybe that guy takes the reins. I do think you want to get a running back in your system for a year and let him sit behind those guys, get a few carries here and there, and then you let that guy eventually take that role over because the Chiefs aren't going to pay Pacheco. Pacheco's probably going to get, like, I don't know, a short-term deal with some other team that's very running back needy and doesn't have a lot of talent in their position, their skill positions. And so, yeah, I think you focus on running back for sure, especially because running back's starting to take some precedent in the league. Teams that have good running backs are starting to see a lot more success because with all the too high safety coverage, you need some guys that can get you some yards and short yardage, whether it be in the run game or the pass game. I don't think receivers quite as needy. As I stated last week, I think there's some guys you could probably take day two, day three, depending on how that value falls. You know, guys like Elijah Manner, guys like Ty Felton, guys like Ja'Cory Brooks. I think there's good value there. I don't think you need to go and reach on a guy first round. Hell, a guy that, you know, we've talked about since early in the season, Texas wide receiver Isaiah Bond declared for the draft last week. He's a guy I think would be a decent little slot option. I'm not sure you're taking him. Like, initially we thought receiver first round. I'm backing off that now. I think unless Tyler Warren is going to be there at, you know, wherever you're picking, late first round, I think you're probably looking to take a defensive tackle. Take a Kenneth Grant. Someone of that ilk that gives you some depth, gives you a rookie contract at a position that you haven't had a rookie contract at, aside from like one guy in a while. And it gives you the ability to kind of get much, much younger at a position group where you've got some guys who are late 20s, early 30s, guys like Aminihue and Chris Jones. You want to get a little bit younger there. I know they just paid Mike Dana, you know, on a three-year deal, but you know, that's not a huge money deal, and it's not a deal that you can't get out of. So I think defensive tackle is probably your number one need because I think you want to lean on your pass rush, and I think you want to make sure that you're able to play at least a decent amount of defense. I don't think you need to play, like, elite-level defense in the league to win, but you at least want to be decent at it because if you can't get stops at all, then you end up like the Bengals this year where you're on the bubble and, you know, depending on how many bad losses you had, you end up missing the playoffs like they did. So I think you definitely want to be aggressive at filling those positions in need. And I think defensive tackle is your biggest need. Make sure your pass rush stays a strength for your team. And then after that, I think really it depends on value. I think corner's good value day two. Running back is really good value day two. But there is one position group that I don't think is good value, and I think that's tackle. And I keep seeing people do mock drafts. Lance, one of the guys who regularly does mock drafts, sends them to us. You know, big fan of Station. And I've seen him. I saw Rob from The Drive. You know, they're talking about taking a tackle in the first round. And I've said it before on the podcast. I want to make sure I reemphasize this. just so that you don't get your hopes up. This is not a good tackle class. This isn't anywhere near as good of a tackle class as what we've seen the last few years. Like Will Campbell, who's, you know, considered the top tackle in this class, right behind him probably Kelvin Banks. Will Campbell, LSU, Kelvin Banks, Texas. Top two tackles, might go top 15. I mean, I think Will Campbell probably goes top 10 for sure. And I think Kelvin may go top 15. He may slip a little bit past 15. Maybe he's somewhere in that 15 to 20 range. Both of those guys are might be a tackle. When your two best tackles in the draft class might be a tackle, and then everyone else after that is kind of considered a project, I don't think the value's there. Like, yeah, we've had might-be-a-tackle go high, like Pete Skoronski, he did. He was a might-be-a-tackle. He ended up moving inside the guard for the Titans. And he's been pretty good thus far. But when it's not considered a very good tackle class, and the top two are might-be-a-tackle guys, that doesn't bode well for the rest of the class. Not only that, but, like, you see guys kind of move up and down. Like, the only guy after those two I'm consistently seeing late first round is Wyatt Millum from West Virginia. Everywhere else, it's this guy might be a first round pick. This guy might not be a first round pick. And I'm not interested in might be a first round pick. It's the reason why I wasn't happy with the idea of the Chiefs taking Kingsley Suamataia late first round, because I don't want might be a first round tackle taken for sure in the first round. Like, I saw some people that thought he might be a third-round guy. Well, I'm not really down with a might-be-a-third-round guy late in the first round, even if it is a position of need. All those guys that are going to be available late first round, they're Kingsley Suamataia, a project tackle that is going to take some time to learn the position, develop against a higher level of competition, and learned how to play the NFL style. And also learn how to play with Patrick Mahomes. Because I'm going to tell y'all this. It ain't easy playing with Patrick Mahomes when you're a tackle. Because he holds on to the football for a long time. It's different if you know your quarterback is getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. Like, Teron Armstead, who plays for the Dolphins, even though he's had some injury issues, he don't got a very hard job blocking for Tua. Because he knows Tua's, he's getting that ball off almost faster than anybody in the league. If Tua's holding on to the football, bad things are happening. So it's all about getting the ball out as quick as you can. Teron Armstead does not have a super hard job blocking for him. But when your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes, even though he was getting rid of the ball the fastest of his career this year at 2.8 seconds, he regularly holds on to the football. There's been many years where he's led the league in time to throw. There's multiple attempts in games where he's over 4 or 5 seconds, holding on to the football, keeping his eyes down the field, moving around. And it's tough for a tackle to block that, because you got to make sure you don't get beat off the edge with that speed. You got to make sure that they don't fake out and then move back in. You got to be able to hold that guy, make sure you push him out so Mahomes can step up in the pocket and buy time and go through the B gap, which is where he prefers to be able to run if he has to run, is the B gap, the gap between the tackle and the guard. It's a lot of work. It's tough. It's not easy. It's the reason why I was not shocked at all that Kingsley Suamataia didn't play well. I tell you this, me and Bink, we were very surprised that they pushed him so quickly. And we thought it was either a stroke of brilliance or was going to end up badly, and it obviously was the latter. This is one of those drafts where you're going to get the same results if you take a guy at tackle late first round. If you try to trade up, that doesn't make any damn sense. Trading up for might be a tackle. Yeah, I don't think the value's there. Just develop the guy that you drafted late second round that you liked. If he doesn't turn out to be a tackle, so be it. You can go find you one in free agency or whatever. You can go find a Band-Aid. You can trade for one. There's options on the table. You know, maybe you bring back DJ Humphries. He'll be 31 at the time. He'll be 31, so I don't know if that's going to be super viable at his age. Maybe you have Joe Tooney come back and he plays left tackle for you next year. But I don't think tackled in the draft. Unless you get a Darian Kennard type, as I've said before. Get a Darian Kennard, let that guy be your guy. Maybe that's the solution. But I don't think that's viable round one. I think it might be viable day three. You go take a guy late, project guy, develop him. And if he doesn't work out at tackle, you move him inside, have him play guard. There's good value at guard, and it's not nearly as hard to play guard in the NFL as it is to play tackle. And so if you're not cut out for that, you can just move inside. You can get some good value. Like I said, there's been some very good guys that have started out at tackle in college and then moved inside and played really well. You know, Jeff Allen was like a prime example. Left tackle to Illinois, drafted by the Chiefs, moved inside. Very good guard for the Chiefs for a few years and was a part of some really good offenses in the league. I've got no problem with that. So this is being recorded on a Monday. If you're a regular listener, this is being recorded on a Monday. So I gave you the watch list last week for the college football playoff final. You got Ohio State taking on Notre Dame tonight. You should definitely Ohio, even though the Chiefs have not drafted an Ohio State player during the Veach era. Maybe this is the year that it changes. So just be ready for that. Pay attention to that. And, you know, look for those defensive players, those corners, those edge rushers. I don't think that Tui Maloau and Sawyer's draft stock is super high right now. So maybe the Chiefs get a bargain on those guys if they look good in the pre-draft process. Maybe Veach breaks his own draft convention and takes one of those guys. So look out for those guys. The running backs too, Trevion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, those two guys for sure you want to look out for. And also, sneaky guy, I really like Howard Cross III, defensive tackle. Definitely want to look out for him because I think he could be a good day three rotational guy they take on the inside. If you want the full list of the watch list, go check out the last episode, 5 Up, 5 Down, from last week where I give you the watch list for the game. But other than that, like I said, next week we're aiming to get Bink back on the podcast. Very excited for that. And hopefully we can do that, get him on. And I'm like I said, it's been different doing the show by myself. And I'm very much looking forward to having him on there. I know he was firing off some takes on Saturday. We was texting each other before the game. He was firing off some takes out there. So we're definitely going to try to have him back on next week. Again, download, subscribe on whatever platform you listen to us. Tell your friends about us, too. We'd greatly appreciate if you would, especially as we're about to get into that draft cycle, that draft season. We're really going to try to push this thing and build this up. So we'd appreciate it if you followed us on Twitter at 0-60 at 3GuysInAGarage. Also follow 96.5 The Fan Station account on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever you have social media. We're probably on there. We'd appreciate that. And then please leave us a 5-star rating as well on whatever platform you listen to us on. We would really appreciate that. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. This has been the latest edition of the Character and Concerns podcast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.